The Letter of Paul to the Romans, Chapter 1. From Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, an apostle called and set apart for God's good news, the very promises he foretold through his prophets in the sacred scriptures regarding his Son, who was born in the flesh, a descendant of David, and has been recognized as the Son of God, endowed with power upon rising from the dead through the Holy Spirit. Through him, Jesus Christ our Lord, and for the sake of his name, we received grace and mission in all the nations for them to accept the faith. All of you, the elected of God, are part of them. You, the beloved of God in Rome, called to be holy, may God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. Paul longs to visit them. First of all, I give thanks to my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is spoken of all over the world, and God, whom I serve in spirit by announcing the good news of his Son, is my witness that I remember you in my prayers at all times. I pray constantly that, if it is his will, he make it possible for me to visit you. I long to see you and share some spiritual blessings with you to strengthen you. In that way, we will encourage each other by sharing our common faith. You must know, brothers and sisters, that many times I have made plans to go to you, but till now I have been prevented. I would like to harvest some fruits among you, as I have done among other nations. Whether Greeks or foreigners, cultured or ignorant, I feel under obligation to all. Hence my eagerness to proclaim the gospel also to you who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed at all of this good news. It is God's power saving those who believe, first the Jews and then the Greeks. This good news shows us the saving justice of God, a justice that saves exclusively by faith. As the scripture says, the upright one shall live by faith. Humankind is under God's wrath. For the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and injustice of those who have silenced the truth by their wicked ways. For everything that could have been known about God was clear to them. God himself made it plain. Because his visible attributes, his everlasting power and divinity, are made visible to reason by means of his works since the creation of the world. So they have no excuse, for they knew God and did not glorify him as was fitting, nor did they give thanks to him. On the contrary, they lost themselves in their reasoning, and darkness filled their minds. Believing themselves wise, they became foolish. They exchanged the glory of the immortal God for the likes of mortal human beings, birds, animals, and reptiles. Because of this, God gave them up to their inner cravings. They did shameful things and dishonored their bodies. They exchanged God's truth for a lie. They honored and worshipped created things instead of the Creator, to whom be praise forever. Amen. Because of that, God gave them up to shameful passions. Their women exchanged natural sexual relations for unnatural ones. Similarly, the men, giving up natural sexual relations with women, were lustful of each other. They did, men with men, shameful things, bringing upon themselves the punishment they deserve for their wickedness. And since they did not think that God was worth knowing, he gave them up to their senseless minds, so that they committed all kinds of obscenities. And so they are full of injustice, perversity, greed, evil. They are full of jealousy, murder, strife, deceit, bad will, and gossip. They commit calumny, offend God, are haughty. They are proud, liars, clever in doing evil. They are rebellious towards their parents, senseless, disloyal, cold-hearted, and merciless. They know of God's judgment, which declares worthy of death anyone living in this way. Yet not only do they do all these things, they even applaud anyone who does the same.